We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Wednesday. Oh, you ain't going to get me. You ain't getting me. No. You try this again? No. I thought about it. I go,
is that the first time I've done it? That's a pretty good streak.
I thought about it, though. Oh, I almost said it.
I saved it correctly in the in my
March
folder.
31st?
No, it's April 7th.
April 7th, 2021.
Almost. I just got to keep you on your toes today, buddy.
I hesitated, and I thought about it, and I didn't do it.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
There's a lot of lightning out.
Lots.
It rained.
Poured.
A lot. Oh, yeah, it's pouring. Lightened up a little bit out here, but prepare for that. Nice and wet outside.
It's a wet hump day.
But the rain was a-coming down. Lots of lightning, so plan accordingly. We'll talk to Gary Lezak about that. There were thunderstorms overnight on the Kansas side, and you'll wake up to some rain, so we'll find out how bad it's going to be today with Gary just before 8 o'clock. A lot of stuff happening before then. Graham Zusi's going to join us at 6:30. Mike Boddicker will be with us. He's going to have some friends, won't he?
I believe he's bringing the boys in. Bringing in the boys, James and Corey.
Oh, I thought you meant Richie and Phil. Like, why is Mike Boddicker bringing my sons in?
His boys.
Okay.
His boys. Aquinas' boys.
And who are you closely associated with? Did you, is one of them
Corey was
to
a freshman when I was a senior.
Did you haze him?
I was nice to Corey.
Oh, were you?
I wasn't very nice to Mike's son-in-law, who was a freshman.
Well, you didn't know at the time that was going to be Mike's son-in-law.
No, I had no idea.
Had you known, you might have acted differently.
He was a good kid, but he was a freshman on the JV basketball team.
What's his name? Let's give him a shout-out.
Eric Fournier.
Eric, Jake is sorry that he wasn't very nice to you.
Called him the rat.
Does he remember it? Does he think about it like when he's
probably not
cross paths?
I hope
like,
not.
Oh, this guy's, I remember this guy.
It was tough love.
He was a real a-hole back in the day.
I think it was. I wasn't too big. I don't know. Maybe I was.
So why were you nice to Mike's son? Because of the last name? Just kissing ass or what?
Uh-huh.
No, because he knew his role. He was, you know.
What was his role?
Keep your mouth shut.
Be a freshman.
Mm-mm.
Corey's a good guy. James is a good kid, too. But James,
so how does Corey feel about you now? Does he recollect things the same way? Like, hey, you know what? Jake was pretty cool as a senior. Or do you think he has a different...
No, I think he probably thought I was pretty cool, dude.
Yeah. Why? How could he not?
Right.
I was, you know,
arrogant a-hole. So I was a pretty cool dude.
What kind of student body are you talking about there? I mean, did you have interaction with a freshman? Or were you just...
Yeah, I mean, it was less than 1,000 kids in our school.
Yeah.
I mean, each class had about 200 kids in it.
Yeah, when I went to Pius, it was like... Maybe 250. So we were all together, you know.
I think my class had like 240 something in it.
I was the smart ass senior taking French class with all the freshmen.
Oh boy.
So I could graduate. Because the Spanish teacher had enough of my, I was told.
Callate la boca.
Sister that taught Spanish told the principal that she'd had enough of my nonsense.
Yeah.
I can identify with
I'm
her.
Like, yeah.
Just, I'm like, yeah. Times I've had enough of your nonsense.
Nonsense. Huh? Okay, so there's no hard feelings.
No.
With the Boddicker boys.
No.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
My friends are excited about this bourbon raffle.
Yeah, I think they're going to bring in some bottles to show on the TV.
Yeah, that's, we wanted people, because look, I don't know. I don't know what's what when it comes to all this bourbon and this high dollar bourbon, so... They're going to bring in some early, around 6:45 or so, to show it on TV. and drum up some more support. There's a lot of people that are buying tickets. Like Nate said, his friends are fired up. I have some friends that don't even drink bourbon, that are simply doing it just because the money's going to Children's Mercy Hospital. And that's enough. That's yep. enough reason for them. That's enough reason for anybody. But you get the if you do love bourbon, or if you just want to have fun and try to win something, you could buy your tickets, and we'll tell you more about it when Mike Boddicker gets here. And then we'll get a draw for the winner live on Facebook for the Boddicker Foundation. And I believe I'll be in Mike Boddicker's basement, which is something that I've looked forward to for quite some time. But here's the deal. Once you invite me in, it's hard to get me to leave, Mike Boddicker. What was in, was it Poltergeist 2? Remember when the old
I don't think creepy, I ever saw the
creepy looking preacher.
I'm not sure right? I saw the second one either.
And he's like, "Let me in." And if you let him in, then you've invited you've invited the spirit into your house.
Yep.
And then maybe I'm mixing up movies. I can't remember.
Well, I know that that's the case.
Is that Poltergeist 2?
In Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
If you invite a vampire into your, they can't enter your house unless you invite them.
Right. Oh, that's right.
I remember the first one scared the heck out of me because I was just a little guy. The first Poltergeist.
Oh, I remember what movie. There's another movie, Fright Night. Did anyone ever see Fright Night? Now, that was fantastic. And Chris Sarandon played the kind of like the handsome vampire. And the kid got upset because because when he was going, his mom invited him in. Mm. Why'd you invite him in, Mom? I think I remember. I can't. Poltergeist 2, I think I only saw it once or twice or five times or whatever.
Ah, Fright Night. Yeah, I saw that.
Fright Night was great.
Yeah. So
they got the guy that did hosted the horror movies on the local TV show because he was like a vampire slayer, and then in real life he wasn't. He was kind of drinky.
Yeah.
But they got him to anyway.
Show.
Yeah. But he, let me in.
I wasn't a big horror film guy. But I had a
horror.
Well,
I loved it all.
See, my best friend in grade school loved it, so we'd watch them all the time. But
so the point is, like a vampire or like an evil spirit. Once you invite me into your home,
it's a television,
then
horror
you get
show.
No control. So we'll talk to Mike Boddicker, and then Gary Lezak, and then Greg Gurley, and we've got all that and more coming up for you between now. And 10 o'clock. Love to talk to you about the Royals game yesterday, but they didn't play again, so. There you go. And honestly, if they had played, a whole bunch of people wouldn't have seen it anyway, so. Hashtag real talk, sorry.
Man.
Don't get mad. Hey, look, I represent the listener. And a lot of my people are mad, so I'm mad. I'm not going to sit here and play grab ass with this thing when other people are mad. But nobody got to see it yesterday because it wasn't a game, which is incredibly frustrating. Because I want to see my first place Royals play baseball. Let's go.
Day game today.
How about those Royals?
And today, just after noon, will be the bullpen game, but it'll be led off by Jake Junis. And we can see this new cutter and this new version of Jake Junis. And see maybe if he can stake his claim to the fifth spot in the rotation. It was pretty much decided that it would be Chris Bubich, but he struggled in the spring. And since minor league baseball games don't exist yet, it's hard for us to tell you, hey, boy's looking good down in Omaha. Or
Boob.
What?
Itch.
Yeah.
Boob.
That'll happen Itch. May 4th. So we're getting close to minor league baseball. But if Jake Junis goes out there and looks good against the Indians and has some nice outings, maybe he's the fifth starter. I don't know. I won't close the book on that. He's got this cutter now, and he's had some promise in the past. So I'll be rooting for him, see if Jake Junis looks good today. He will. The Royals have their hands full against Cy Young Award winner Shane Bieber on the mound for Cleveland.
Biebs.
So on paper, it looks like that favors Cleveland, but Cleveland better do something because their lineup is not very good. it's not as good as the Royals, and I don't think the Cleveland baseball team is as good as the Royals. But this is the best possible matchup you could have for Cleveland, to have Shane Bieber on the mound against the Royals on a bullpen day. And it could have been Brad Keller, but they decided to move Brad Keller back, push his start back to tomorrow against the White Sox, and so you have Jake Junis and an assortment of others. And so can we call Jake Junis the opener? Because isn't that
what he is?
Well,
I think we should.
I mean, technically, isn't that what he is?
Yep.
So it's a perfect day to have Mike Boddicker in.
Right.
I'm not just saying that just to poke it at Bod. I mean, that's what it is.
Of course not.
How many innings do you think Jake Junis will give us today?
Three.
Three good ones or three? Whoa. Get him out of there.
Maybe two.
Well, you just walked that back within 10 seconds.
Oh, do openers go three?
Sure.
I think an opener theoretically is supposed to go one.
Yeah.
Or is he? I don't know. What's your definition of an opener?
Right.
I think that we will.
I'm going to say two.
We will massage this to whatever Jake Junis pitches, he's an opener today.
Right. He's opening the game.
Do you think? Are you hoping that he has a chance to be the fifth starter?
I think he's got a chance,
or do
yeah.
you want to keep him in the bullpen?
I think he's got a chance. If he goes out and pitches well, I don't see why he wouldn't.
Give him a shot to earn it, right?
Yeah.
Keep him in the conversation. Jake? His name's Jake. You like him or no?
Yeah, I like him. I root for the guy.
Right. As well you should. He's a Royal, buddy.
Root for the guy. I think he goes more than two innings, though.
You
get two good innings, and then he goes about two and two-thirds and gets hit. Then they take him out.
All right.
But I think we see two good innings out of him, and then they have to take him out in the third. I think they'll probably let him go until he struggles. I mean, if you're trying him out for your fifth starter in that role, I think they'll let him go until he struggles.
And one time through the order, maybe, you know, with that new cutter they haven't seen yet.
It depends on pitch count, too. You know, mm-hmm. If he's rolling up to three and his pitch count's low, maybe he can go four. He's stretched out a little bit.
You think you can get Mike Boddicker to call him an opener?
No.
He'll call it a bullpen
He'll
day.
He'll call him a starter.
He'll threaten not
to watch.
He's
starting the game, isn't he?
He's not watching today.
He's a starter. He's starting the game, isn't he? Got a starter.
What about Sporting Kansas City? We're going to talk to Graham Zusi at 6:30. What are some of the topics we're going to hit with him?
Yeah, they hit their last preseason game on Saturday. We did the play-by-play for that on SportingKC.com, and they won 1-0. And Gianluca Busio had a goal. So we might Graham's had some pretty amazing things to say about Busio so far. So we could talk about that a little bit. And the goal was actually reminiscent to me of a goal call that I had of Graham Zusi for president when he scored a left-footed goal, and Busio scored a left-footed goal from about the same spot. So maybe we could ask Graham about that. And they just signed another homegrown player yesterday, Kaveh Rad, who's 19 years old, a central defender. So that puts them at 12 homegrown players they now have on their roster, which is pretty incredible. What's
normal for an MLS team?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know what? I don't know what the average number is. I know Sporting's on the higher end on that. They're one of it's one of the biggest numbers. I want
to. You know, I mean, are you confident in that, or are you?
I'm pretty confident in that. I'll text some of the guys and see if they're awake and they let me know. But I thought for some reason the number is like I want to say like maybe third most in the league, second or third most.
It feels like there's some fact to back this up, but you're not sure, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure
how
at
much
all.
I can trust you on this.
I'm not sure at all.
How accurate do you think this is? Do you think they are like third most in the league, or is this just like average, or how far off base do you think Nate is with this?
I think he's going to be surprised. But, oh, it's the most. Oh, all right.
It's possible. Dallas has had a lot of homegrowns over the years, but a lot of their players are over in Europe now, so maybe they don't have as many on their roster right now. That's possible. Philadelphia has a lot of homegrown players. Certain teams invest in it more than others. Some teams are just, hey, we're bringing in players from all over the world. We're not as worried about the homegrowns, where Sporting feels like that's going to be the lifeblood of their team. If we're going to compete with other big market teams that can afford to splash all this big money around, we got to have some guys that come up through the system that turn into real players. And so they've really invested in it. And I think it's also smart because sometimes you get to sell those players to other clubs for a whole lot of money, which is probably what someday will happen with Busio.
Jake's always been a proponent of homegrown.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I don't get it.
You know, you spend a little time up front, you plant the seeds.
Well, most of the states, it's legal.
You reap the fruits of the benefits. So,
yeah.
We can talk to Graham about Kaveh Rad, what he likes about him.
Only three plants, though, guys.
And Graham was seen during the during the preseason game we did on Saturday, warming up along the sideline, or touchline, as you know, they call it a touchline in soccer.
I don't know what that means.
Sideline.
All right.
So we can ask him where he's at with his progress as well.
Do you call it the touchline or the sideline, Jake?
Sideline, but I'm a weirdo, right?
Jake's a soccer guy, but he straddles that
in
line.
In line, sideline.
Sometimes he's angered when the soccer terminology is forced upon the casual fan, but he's a soccer guy, and so I don't know what he embraces.
It looks like in 2020.
This guy's knee-deep in research right now.
I like it.
FC Dallas had 12. Real Salt Lake had 11. Vancouver had 9. And then Kansas City and San Jose both had 8.
That's fourth in my book.
That was 2020.
But now it's gone up.
They've added 4 more players.
Right. But what have those other teams done?
That was 2020.
I need you to be accurate with this.
I'll do some research.
I'm tired of Seren being the soccer guy on the station. I need you to be accurate.
These are 2020 numbers, sorry. Right. Best I can do.
I don't know what you're laughing for. I just put a challenge to you.
You did. You said Seren's the soccer guy.
I said I'm tired of Seren being the soccer guy. And I'm trying to challenge you.
Son of a gun.
What am I doing if I don't try to make him better?
No, iron sharpens iron.
You want me to sit here with my thumb up my rear every day?
No, we don't
sit on your thumbs like Ned Yost said?
No,
I'm not doing that. It hurts.
That doesn't feel good. Well.
Well, says it depends on the person.
Right, says me.
Depends on the thumbs.
Hey!
And back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. And look, maybe I'm wrong, and this is going to happen, and, you know, what do we say? In Veach we trust. Whatever the Chiefs are going to do, they're going to do, all right? But I shouldn't say this because then if it happens, then what am I going to do? If I see one more mock draft that has the Chiefs taking a corner or something like that, I'm going to scream. I almost said something else.
Yeah, don't say something else.
Because, I mean, I feel like it's like the priorities with that pick, like it's offensive line and then offensive line, and then my third priority would be offensive
safety.
Line. My top three priorities would be left tackle, and then left tackle. And if none of those three positions are there, then wide receiver and edge rusher. And then back to left tackle, and then corner. Am I off base on this?
No, I don't think you're off base at all, but
you can't have enough corners in football. Well, yes, you can if you don't have a left tackle. I'm interested in protecting Patrick Mahomes. Okay?
I don't know what this was, but you started shuffling back like
that. If what happens, like you know, he don't know. Again, he don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
But we can't ever let that happen again.
What happened
in the Super Bowl. Because guess what? It doesn't matter who your corners are then, does it?
Not so much.
Okay. That's all?
Number one priority on this team is to protect Patrick Mahomes. Number two priority is keep him happy.
Now, what were you going to say?
Well, we don't know what they're going to do in terms of could they still sign the left tackle?
Villanueva, Okung, we're both out there. It's clear Villanueva wants a multi-year deal and lots of money, and the Chiefs are not willing to meet those demands right now, and nobody else is either.
I still hope that even if they sign a left tackle, that they draft a couple of offensive linemen somewhere in the draft. Maybe not first-round pick, but I hope they draft a couple. You know, and even if they sign a left tackle, and I really hope they sign one. No matter what they do with that first-round pick, I hope they sign one. So, but, yeah, like, corner doesn't jump off the page among the top needs for this
I
team.
Love Daniel Jeremiah in his latest mock draft release yesterday. He has the Chiefs taking Kelvin Joseph, corner from Kentucky.
Look, I mean, hey, if you get another lockdown corner, that makes your team better. But they've got to address the offensive line somewhere. Which I mean, and they have addressed it some, but they need to get a left tackle, of course.
To make the team better, that corner would have to be better than Bashaud Breeland. Would you rather just resign Bashaud Breeland and draft a left tackle?
I guess it depends on how much you have to sign Bashaud Breeland for.
Right. Can't imagine it's too much.
But he's pretty good.
Right. I'm just being grumpy because I need left tackle to be addressed.
Right.
At some point this offseason. And it's going to be. I know it's going to be. They're not going to go into the season with this because they can't.
No.
They can't.
They cannot.
I just, when I see corner, that would be the definition of best player available. But I mean, like, I still think wide. I'm not satisfied with these wide receivers. I mean, re-sign DeMarcus Robinson and we good? No.
If at the current situation, you feel like Mecole Hardman's got to take, this has to be a year where he takes a big step forward.
Well, last year was the year that you thought he would take a big step forward. He had the opportunity.
He did.
But, you know, sometimes human progression doesn't happen on the timeline we want.
Right.
And I'm not saying I have confidence in that. I don't have a ton of confidence in that. So, yes, I would prefer to get a good number three wide receiver.
There's a lot of good tackles in this draft, too.
And I think you can get one in the second round.
Yeah, but I think you can get a.
Oh yeah, it's loaded.
31.
There's two things it's loaded with. Tackles, offensive line, and wide receivers.
Yeah. Yep.
So why not take advantage of the board and address those two positions with the first two round picks, the first and second round picks. That's all.
Well, don't get yourself too worked up about a mock draft because that probably isn't going to happen.
Daniel Jeremiah's good.
He's real good. But it's impossible to predict what everybody's going to pick. So
what's your order of, what's your wish list? Top three position for this first round pick?
Left tackle, wide receiver, and I actually kind of feel like inside linebacker is still an issue.
I can't. I'm in complete agreement with Nate, and I hate it.
I mean, Willie Gay Jr. did not do anything last
year. Nick Bolton.
That's your guy.
You play all over the field, linebacker. You don't mind the edge?
Well, that would be up there too, but I feel like even though he's an interior defensive lineman, I think that the acquisition of Reed makes a big difference.
Right, but who's the edge opposite Frank Clark right now?
Sometimes Chris Jones. Yeah, I mean, look. I would like to add that as well.
Right now it's Tycho Charlton.
Yeah.
I mean, my point is that they lost Okafor and they lost Tonnell Pastineau. Yeah. So those are your top two on the depth chart. I think that's a screaming need just because there's no one to discuss. Tycho Charlton. You know, even if he stays healthy, you need a guy. But yeah, I'm with you. Linebacker too. Add that to the mix. You didn't say corner though, so Daniel Jeremiah is very angry with you. Back after this on WHB. I got Nate all creeped out, and I was making him watch the scene from Poltergeist 2 when Kane was at the door. Let me in. And Nate's like, is that Craig T. Nelson? I said, yeah, it's Coach. What up, Coach?
I recognize him.
That was the same universe, by the way.
Where's Dauber?
The dad from Poltergeist was actually the coach of Minnesota State. So
wow.
It was all the same thing, yeah. That was actually Dauber at the door.
Oh, Dauber.
Let's say hello to our good friend Graham Zusi. Hello, Graham. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing this morning?
Wow, just excited to hear that you're up so early. I thought we were the only one. Sometimes I feel like we're all alone in the 6 o'clock hour just talking to each other.
Yeah, I've become a bit of a morning person since those preseason workouts.
So what time do you usually get up?
I'm usually, naturally just kind of get up around 7:30. But I was hitting those 6 a.m. workouts in preseason, so now I'm kind of wide awake around 6.
So you like that? You like the early morning workouts to get that done, and then you're feeling good, the blood's flowing for the rest of the day?
I tell you what, it is. It puts you in a nice mood. I think the endorphins are flowing, and Yeah, it's a great way to start your morning.
I'll tell you what, Jay, what time do you run? You tell Graham Zusi, see if you can top this. What time?
I'm about 3:30.
This guy's out there running at 3:30 in the morning, which I'm going to tell you, Graham, for his neighbors is very alarming. A lot of people don't like
when I record videos in my driveway.
A lot of people don't like the fact that he's out there recording IG videos at 3:30 in the morning, but what do you think about a nice 3:30 in the morning run? Is that something you like to get in this morning? Is that too much?
That's impressive. I don't know if I'm cut out for that. What time do you go to bed, Nate?
Well, that's Jake that runs.
Yeah,
Nate doesn't go to bed until 3:30 in the morning. Trust me,
Nate doesn't run.
Okay, so what time do you go to bed for this?
I think I went to bed at 10:30 last night. My alarm went off at 2:15. I do about an hour of meditation and intentions before I do my run.
I like that. That's pretty good.
So that's only 3:45 asleep.
Yeah, usually about that.
That's all you need.
That's all I need.
I need more sleep.
Nate doesn't run.
Yeah, I like that.
Nate doesn't run.
Yeah. Nate's getting hammered till 2 in the morning every night.
Nate's got a couple kids.
We're lucky if Nate wakes up at 6 a.m.
He's got to run around that house chasing kids. Do you do meditation, Graham?
I have done a bit of that, and I think I'd like to get more into it. I think that's mental health has come to the forefront of everything lately, and it's for good reason. I think it's something that everyone needs to take into consideration more and more. And the whole meditation thing, I think, is a great way to not only get as athletes, you always are hearing about getting your body in shape, and that's the most important thing. But getting your mind in shape is just as important as well, and working out your mind. So meditation is just a great way to do that.
You know, it's interesting actually that you say that, because Peter Vermes always says there's four components to a soccer player. There's the physical, there's the mental, there's the technical, and the tactical. Those are the four things. Do you hear a lot of that talk with Sporting in terms of the mental side of the game?
Yeah, we do, absolutely. You know, Peter very much pushes the point of being smart on the field as well, and outthinking your opponent, and that goes beyond just being on the field. It's what you do outside the field as well. And there's things that we've started to incorporate at Sporting that that very much focus on one, mental health, and then also just being able to think a team off the field, not just play a team off the field as well. So Peter's, to his credit, he's come a long way in terms of the mental side of the game.
Graham Zusi is our guest. Graham, the final match of the preseason was on Saturday. Nate was telling me that you were off to the side warming up, going through some different drills. So tell us how you're feeling now physically as we're just about ready to start the regular season.
Yeah, I'm feeling really good. My workloads have increased quite a bit. Speaking of running, I did about 4 miles of running the other day, and maybe just a little bit less than that the day before. I'm on the field, off to the side, kind of with my PT and my trainer, going through a lot of soccer movements with and without the ball. And then getting some fitness in after that. So, we're just trending upwards at a pretty quick pace right now. Had one of my kind of final checkups with my doc and surgeon a couple days ago, and he kind of gave me almost the all clear to really ramp things up. So I'm stoked about that. And it's. At this point, it's just getting me back into the on-field stuff and kind of reteaching my body and everything, those movements again. Because when you're not on a soccer field for 6 months, You feel like a little bit of a deer on ice in the first couple weeks, but that's quickly coming back, and looking forward to getting back in with the guys on the field in a couple weeks here.
So mentally, do you have that trust where you're ready to turn things loose? I know sometimes the mental hurdles coming back from an injury can be just as difficult, maybe more difficult than the physical hurdles. Mentally, do you feel like, okay, I trust this, I'm ready to go, let's turn this loose?
Yeah, that's a good point. I was kind of wondering how I would react to that part of it, and if I would have any hesitancy and lack of trust in where my foot was. But honestly, I think the staff and everyone's almost been like holding the reins on me a little bit, because I've been wanting to do more and more and more. So I'm actually pleasantly surprised on how I've reacted mentally to this whole thing. I really don't have any hesitancy at all. If anything, it's the opposite. I want to do more and more and more. So I'm pretty happy about that.
That's a great sign. So, Graham, did you get a good look at that goal by Gianluca Abbuccio while you were doing your warm-ups during the game?
I did, yeah. I had actually just finished up, and I joined the guys on the bench, and Abbuccio hit that screamer. Oh, my gosh, what a goal that was. You know, obviously the goal was spectacular, but the touch before was to me, just as good. I mean, that little, like, chip up to himself. Mm-hmm. Over the defender, and then with his apparently weaker foot to hit it like that far post. I mean, I think, Nate, do we have a new president?
Yeah, that's what Jacob Peterson said, because it was like a similar spot on the field to your left footed goal when I said that. But I don't think Busio is old enough to run for president. So, well, you're probably not either, actually. How old do you have to be? You know that, Stephen.
What is it, 35?
35, I believe. Yeah. Actually, you have another, to be, 21 years old now, so we're going to get field goal.
Busio's still not old enough.
Right, so I think 35. Is that right?
Hey, last question for you, Graham. Speaking of young guys, 19-year-old Kaveh Rad signed to a first-team deal, and Peter Vermees, it sounds like he really just played so well in preseason that they're like, this kid deserves a contract. What have you seen from him this preseason?
Yeah, Kaveh had an incredible preseason, I thought. He's been in with us here and there into some first team trainings in the past year or two, but this year he got a full preseason with us, and he excelled. I mean, his like soccer instincts are very, very good for his age, and he just came in and kind of like solidified himself in that back line. And I can't say enough about how well he came in this year and just fit in seamlessly. The kid is beyond his years in terms of his calmness and his I go back to the word instincts on the field. He's beyond his years for sure, and had a great preseason and fully deserved the contract that he got.
All right, Graham, some of the training staff from Sporting Kansas City just texted into the show and said that you will be considered 100% the final hurdle, a 3:30 a.m. run with Jake. So if you could get yourself prepared for that, then we can get you back on the field and everyone will be happy, all right?
I'll join him for the meditation
right.
Part, but then
there
I'll go back to sleep.
Now, look, we're working with Graham, okay? We've offered him, we're trying to get him guitar lessons and music lessons with my son Richie. Can you meditate? Can you give him some tips moving forward on meditation? I'm telling you, Graham, Jake's like a guru now.
He could be your guru.
Jake, can you help Graham out with
on
this?
On the spot right now?
Well, no, just like whatever.
We get in some box breathing and we can, you know.
Right, but he says moving forward, he wants to get it.
I'd do a guided meditation for him.
See, the guests on this show, we give you all kinds of
perks.
Bonuses and perks and things like that. So we're going to get you set up, Graham, all right?
I love it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Graham. Well, Graham can't get off the phone fast enough after that offer, by the way. Jake will help you meditate.
Yeah, gotta go. Gotta go. What? Peter, what? Gotta go.
You could, though, couldn't you?
See, I'm trying to present you to people.
I don't know if people want you presenting me to
them. I will present you to whoever the hell I want to.
Yeah, I realize that.
What are you offering people right now?
What do they want?
Well, if they want a tremendous amount of early morning IG content, then they're getting
some profanity-laced videos.
You say you want to help people. What are you offering? What can you give? And then let me be the conduit.
The most valuable commodity on planet Earth, my time.
But like Graham's, like, I'd like to do more with meditation. Can you help with that?
Yeah, I can. We can do some naked meditation, Boddicker
what?
Said.
I don't think anybody mentioned that before.
Can you help him? I
have a blanket over me.
But meditation is something, right? Is
that, yes, absolutely.
Is that a staple in your diet?
Every day. It's part of my daily practice.
Why don't you help me?
I'll help you.
Yeah. I need a lot of help.
I'll try to help you.
You know, if you're looking for someone to help, you don't have to look very far.
I'll help
you. Just look straight ahead. Here I am.
It only takes 5 minutes. All you need to do is 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes.
Trust me. Ask my wife. 5 minutes is a long time.
Wow. Hello. Right.
She should be so lucky. We will take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We got a room full of bourbon and a room full of Boddickers. Which will get you buzzed first? The room full of Boddickers or the room full of bourbon? Jake, answer the question.
Oh, the Boddickers. Look at you. Get you blasted.
He'll buzz you with a fastball right now if you ask him.
You Cadillac a home run on this guy. He'll buzz the tower on you.
We got Mike, we got James, we got Corey, we got Blanton's. Let me tell you something. John Wick approved.
Absolutely.
All right? You want to be like John Wick, people? You drink this, and then you're kicking ass. I can tell you that right now. And you get a wonderful companion that's a dog. And then your life is complete. So, okay, who's going to be the spokesperson? I feel like...
The president. The youngest.
Yeah, look how Mike's, like, sitting next to me on this... On the little table, the sidebar here.
This room won't fall apart in this room.
I feel like you're on the witness stand. You have any questions? Let's interrogate Mike Boddicker. Okay, so what we're talking about is the Boddicker Foundation. Let's start there. Whose idea was it?
Yeah, so we started the Boddicker Foundation.
You're right on that microphone.
Yeah, back in probably late 2019, we started talking about it. Me and my siblings, Corey, Steph, and Britt. And it was one of the things we decided kind of to keep the legacy of my parents and their charitable efforts going in the future.
They're still alive, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they're still alive.
For now, but I mean, look at that guy.
But we all have children of our own, and we wanted to make sure that legacy continues and kind of get more involved. So we have partnered up with Children's Mercy. There's an oncology family support fund there for families who are battling financial difficulties with their child going through illness. It's one of those things that... Obviously, the pandemic affected a lot of people, but there's a lot of people that, you know, were laid off who have children going through cancer right now. And so this family support fund helps give those families, you know, gift cards, Visa gift cards, gas cards if they're coming from rural areas, hotels here in town while their families are going through all of this. So we kind of started that, and I'll let Corey kind of take over from there.
By the way, Corey's got a tremendous Mike Golick Jr. vibe to him. By the way, Jake, I don't know if you noticed that. Right? I mean, like, you know, just, and that's a compliment.
He's got
we
a good
like
sturdy
Michael
beard
Jr.
to
this,
him, you know, yeah. He's like a good guy.
Right.
He's getting a little gray. Yeah.
Just for men, brush it in, wash it out, and you're 10 years younger.
There you go.
That's all.
Now, we were looking at, you know, we had some big plans 2020 to do some live events and raise some money, and obviously, pandemic. 86 of that, so we're looking at different ways to raise money this year. James and I are both into bourbon. Old man's into Canadian whiskey, Crown Royal, so he doesn't really care. But we're both in the, I guess, somewhat active in the local bourbon community, so to speak. And we ran down some bottles. We had several liquor stores help us get some good bottles, and then the rest of it's just a local group. We're both members of called Rick House, that a bunch of guys went into their shelves and closets and pulled out all the bottles that are on the website and BoddickerFoundation.org and made some donations, and we're selling raffle tickets to raise money to go to Children's Mercy.
So you said the bourbon community, is this like They're like speakeasies involved, passwords,
underground,
secret rooms. Yeah, like, that's what I'm talking about.
Like, I got no, it's, out of that community.
I like this.
No, it's not really formal, but there's some Facebook groups and things where people share where they're finding stuff and what they like, and yeah.
And so that's where the donations come from all the bottles.
Yeah, just a lot of individuals. A few of them came from our mom. Lisa, she's getting into it. She's
in the bourbon community.
She threw a Blanton's in.
That's how she puts up with Boddicker.
Yeah.
Is this what she's doing right here?
She needs it.
Yeah, she threw a Blanton's in and a Weller, and yeah,
wow.
She's been stocking up. So, yeah, just a bunch of people, giving from their own stash.
That's liquor stores.
Right. Yep. Gomer's, Prairie, Top Spot.
I mean, you guys have so many great bottles. You added some this week, too, yeah, right? I saw.
George T. Stagg and Old Rip Van Winkle. Tough bottles to get.
My buddies that are into this stuff, they bought tickets last week and we talked about it. And when they saw the update that the new bottles were in there, they are very excited about this.
Jake doesn't drink anymore, but there's such a twinkle in his eye right now looking at these wonderful bottles. You stay on that side of the glass, sir.
All right, he's looking at a big smile because
you said the Van Winkle. He's like, that's right. He's in there growling like a dog. We got the Boddicker boys, we got bourbon, we got everything in here. We'll be back after this on WHB. All right, thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Coming up, we've got Mike Boddicker and James and Corey Boddicker and bourbon and more than Gary Lezak.
Yes.
He'll probably have a martini during his segment. Greg Gurley will talk about roofing and barbecue and basketball. We've got all that and more between now and 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.